How's everybody doing?
Good, good.
Well, let's open this morning. Last week we talked about confession and repentance and just the importance of that. And I don't know what you've had time to do or not do in your week, but can we just take a moment and just wait on the Lord and allow him? We sang that song, "Grace like rain falls down on me, washes all my guilty stains away." So let's take this moment, this opportunity, if you haven't had a chance to do this, if you have, and just say the words of David, "Search me, God, examine my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So can we just do that in the quietness for a moment? If there's something there, just confess it, bring it before the Lord, let him give you a fresh new start. Amen. Well, we are continuing on today with our series, Salt and Light. But there's something I believe to be true about how God wants to do things today. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the speaking and revelation gifts. So discernment, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And we're just going to touch on prophecy a little, but we're going to spend more time on that next week. And I believe that God wants to speak to us today as a church through one of you. But here's the catch. I believe he wants to either use somebody who has never stepped out in this gifting before to come forward and bring a word to the church, or I believe that, not or, and I believe that it could be somebody who has not done it for a very, very long time. You may have walked in that gifting at one time, but fear or somebody's critique or something where you didn't get maybe validation to know, was that even a word from the Lord, has prevented you from doing that again. And I was talking with one of our team leaders this morning, and she was just praying with me about this, that it's like a well stopped up is the words that they used, a well stopped up. Now, here's the thing. One is, that's terrifying. You might be sitting there and going, what if it's me? What if I'm that person? And you might be sitting there and going, I haven't done it for years. What if it's me? And I just want to reassure you, I'm terrified too, all right? Because what if nobody comes up, right? So there's that very real risk. But I can't even describe just how convicted I am that this is where we need to go today. And the second part of this is that it could happen while I'm speaking. And so I'm going to give you permission, if that's you this morning, and you feel like, oh my goodness, it's me. She was talking about me. And you're receiving a word from the Lord for our church to interrupt the sermon. What? Can that be done? Yes, it can. Because I don't want to leave you sitting there in agony. If you've never done it before, sometimes you'll get that feeling like, I think God's speaking to me, and your heart will start to pound, and your legs will start to shake, and your hand, you know, not because of a God thing, but just because of terror, right? what if I get it wrong? And so I don't want to leave you sitting there in that situation for too long while I go on and on and on. So there's that piece of it. The other thing is, we do things here out of relationship. So if you're visiting with us today, I'm going to ask you just to enjoy and just partake, because I believe that somebody is someone who has been in fellowship with us for a little while. And so there's a safe place then to be able to come and bring that word. We know you, we know your heart, and nothing's going to get sideways, so to speak. So also, though, it's good to have good foundations. So I'm putting that out there. There is paper at the back, so also if you think it's you and you're just like, I'm going to forget it, go ahead, write it down. And then we can bring it at the appropriate time, or if you feel you need to, just if you're like, I'm not going to run up there, just put your hand up and I'll stop what I'm doing. But are you okay with that this morning? Okay to take a little risk? Okay. So just be praying. So while I'm speaking, you can actually pray and hear somebody speak at the same time. It's a cool kind of a thing that God does. So just be praying and receive that could be you this morning. But we are talking about salt and light. And I love the salty and lit. This is not the Urban Dictionary version of lit. I'm just going to put that out there. If you know what that is, we're not talking about that kind of lit, which often means drunkenness and et cetera. We're talking about, man, I'm so lit, excited. Yeah. So Matthew 5, 13 and 16, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Don't be hidden this morning. If this is you, what I just said, don't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit as salt. The Holy Spirit adds flavor to our lives. And the light, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, where we exercise spiritual gifts or spirituals, as Tyler and Dr. Daniel Brown and Ed mentioned. We exercise those within the church body to edify one another so that in turn we can go and be a light in our world. Because as we're edified and encouraged, that's why we come together on Sundays, not just so we can go, woohoo, I'm edified and encouraged and go about our week. It's I'm edified and encouraged so I can go touch a lost and dying world with the hope of Jesus. So God or the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to edify the church. Now, can I say this? If you're sitting there and you're thinking, maybe it's me, I've shown this picture before. We don't care how it's wrapped. We care about what's the gift is, right? So I don't care how you give me a horse or how you wrap it. I want the horse, all right? I actually do like horses. So if you're worried, well, what if I stutter? What if it's not clear? It's what you're bringing that counts, not how it's wrapped up and packaged. Now, just a little recap from Tyler, Dr. Daniel Brown, Pastor Ed, as they've begin unpacking this concept of spirituals or spiritual gifts. We refer to them as spirituals because it doesn't actually use the word gifts per se in the Bible, and spirituals just broadens that out to say God can use us in many, many different ways and His Holy Spirit can work through us. We're to be obedient when we feel that prompting from the Holy Spirit to exercise one of the spirituals that are listed, and we're going to go to the scriptures so you can remember what those are. And we replace "that's not my gift" with "okay, Jesus." Just like at home when I say, "Ed, would you take out the garbage, please?" He doesn't say, "that's not my gift." "Okay, Carolyn." because things will go well if we walk out that way. Now, the gift is the Holy Spirit. So we want to seek Him first. So those of you who've had children, been with children, grandparent, auntie or uncle children will know that when you go away and you come home, what's often the first thing they say? "What did you bring me?" Yeah. So you may have been bypassed before the suitcase, you know, whatever. Just, "Oh, I'll give you a hug later, but what did you bring me?" Straight to the suitcase. Well, we want to come to the Holy Spirit first. We seek Him first, and the gifts flow out of that. And we can operate in these spiritual gifts or spirituals as the Holy Spirit enables us to. So let's dig into the scripture just to refresh our memory. 1 Corinthians 12, I think I went too far. Kind of excited about this. All right. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So he's saying there, don't make it all crazy, all right? So sometimes we make things crazy, amen? Get kind of a little bit off kilter. And so he's saying, I'm going to instruct you how this works. I'm going to let you know. And then next slide. Oh, there we go. "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge." And sometimes we hear those in different translations, "word of wisdom," "word of knowledge." "To another, the same Spirit gives a message of," oh, "special knowledge." Sorry, we read that. "The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing." Now notice there, so we can do what with these gifts? So we can help one another. So the gifts aren't about us. It's very easy sometimes to make them about, well, why don't I have that gift and they have that gift? Or why don't I get to do that? We actually see there are public gifts and there's some spiritual gifts that operate more in the background or in a one-on-one kind of situation. So can I tell you that since I've been here in July of 2018, I have seen the spiritual gifts in operation every single Sunday we meet, even if it's not a prophetic word from the pulpit or something like that. So a few more expressions of these spirituals. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Careful about scratching your head. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm just kidding. I was like, oh, like an auction, right? Don't raise your hand. I'm just bugging you. So still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have, which is really freeing because it would be easy for me to come up and say, I just need you to do this, so I believe you have the gift of this. No, I don't get to decide that. It's the Holy Spirit who decides. So one Spirit, a variety of expressions. Pastor Tyler said there's no hierarchy of gifts. It's not like one is up here and, oh, I just got this lowly gift of, you know, interpreting tongues. And from personal experience, I have walked in each one of these gifts at one point or another as the Holy Spirit has enabled me in a given situation. So you might say, well, I don't have the gift of prophecy, and yet you might find yourself in a situation where the Lord releases that gift in you for a particular moment. So we don't want to close ourselves off. That's like saying, you know, you come to Christmas and there's 20 gifts under the tree and you're like, well, I'm going to only open the one I want, right? Like, that'd be ridiculous. There's so many more things that could be under there for you to open. So let's take a brief look at just some of the ones we're talking about today. So the gift of discernment. Gift of discernment. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. Now, it doesn't mean give them a multiple choice. Did you believe that was from the Lord or from your flesh or from? But it does mean we test that. That's why often when somebody will give a word, we will say, do you respond to that? Church, do you receive that? Because we want to test that. And also in follow-up, Ed and I will actually talk to a person one-on-one after they've shared up front and just say, hey, talk to me about what the Holy Spirit was speaking to you in that moment. And in most circumstances, we just get to validate and affirm and encourage and say, man, that was so awesome. That was the perfect word for that moment. And so we test the spirits. We use discernment and say, is this from God? Isn't it? If you've watched our world for any length of time, you know that we need to have the gift of discernment operating in our lives because there's so much, you know, this is the newest move from the Lord. This is the newest move from the Lord. And often they are genuine moves from God, but sometimes we need to guard ourselves against false teachers, false prophets, and pay attention. Scripture tells us that. And that word discernment also means judging. So judging, discern between the influence of God, Satan, the world, and flesh. So I can have a bad day. My bad day could be the enemy trying to get me down. It could be just that there's circumstances in the world. My car costs too much to fix, or, you know, somebody ran a red light and hit me or whatever. Or it could be my flesh. Maybe I'm just having an off, irritable day. And so we want discernment to be able to know how to pray into that and how to manage that. Not everything is our flesh. Not everything is the enemy. Not everything is the world. Gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge has to do with being a diagnostic. So if you bring your car in, we were just talking about this week, our stereo is failing. This is near and dear to my heart. This is where my music happens, right? So I was in crisis this week saying, Ted, what do we do? It's not working, and we figured out a way to make it work for now, and we think it's just a fuse. But the responsible thing to do is we bring it into the shop, they run a diagnosis on all of those electronics underneath, and they're able to determine what the problem is. So the gift of knowledge gives us understanding. It's the what of what's going on. And it reminds us of what is true. So John 14, 26, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been praying for somebody and they just need to hear what's true? They just need to be reminded. And the Holy Spirit in that moment will quicken maybe a scripture verse or a word that you're able to speak to them and remind them of what is true. That's a word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. This is like the prescription. So the gift of, or the word of knowledge is the what, the word of wisdom is the how. How does that get applied? How do I walk through that situation? It's a course of action or a remedy. For example, in the Bible, put mud on the guy's eyes. Do that. Take a bath 7 times. March around the city 7 times. So those are examples of a word of wisdom. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And I love that. That's just like a little bit of instruction. Hey, if you're praying or if you feel you have a word of wisdom, it falls into this here. And then lastly, the gift of prophecy. Amen. So we're not staying here long. As I said, we're going to unpack it just a little more next week and just look a little bit about the difference between Old Testament prophecy, New Testament prophecy. Is there a difference? How does that look? But prophecy is declaring the purposes of God or confirming in the open what has already been spoken to you in private. I'm going to pick on Aaron. Aaron. If God says to you, or if somebody comes up and says to you, I believe the Lord is saying you're going to marry that girl over there. it's good. There's nobody over there. Don't look. It needs to be a word that's confirming something God is already doing in him. Because we've gotten into some dangerous territory where, you know, people have married or done things believing that that was the Lord and not having that confirming word for themselves. Because all of these things flow out of our relationship with the Lord, right? So if we're not spending time with him, if we're not finding that secret place to be with him, then there's not that intimacy. You're not going to hear. You're not going to have the opportunity to hear these things. So in Acts 4, 10 to 11, it says, several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. So declaring the purposes of God. Now you might go, well, that doesn't seem like God's purpose. But if you continue through the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul had this opportunity to preach the gospel to a very large crowd when he went to Jerusalem. And prophecy at times can be conditional. Do this, and God will do that. Sorry, just scrolling down because I have some notes for next week. So some principles of practice. By the way, this was a revelation to me. I'm just saying, I had no idea that it would be so much better to gift wrap that way than the other way. So I'm Googling slides for Sunday, and I'm like, what? No way. So I'm excited to try it out this Christmas. But anyway, back to the topic. Principles of practice. If we believe God has given us a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning of a situation, prophecy, do we need to say everything we hear to everybody? Any guesses? No. All right. Good answer. No. Sometimes we are hearing so that we can pray, so that we know how to pray. Pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding. And so it's really important as we hear these things and receive these things that we're also praying into God, what is the timing of this? Is this something I'm supposed to share with an individual? Is this something I'm supposed to share with a greater body of people? Is this something I'm supposed to keep to myself and pray? And I don't remember if I shared this story here or not, But we had a situation at the church in Delta, a situation, I was the situation, where I felt the Lord say to me something for an individual who wasn't walking with the Lord. She came to church weekly with her spouse, but I just felt like God was saying that there's been a lot of hurt, I see where you're at, etc. So in my eagerness, I went up right after the service, shared this with her, and she said, "How dare you? How dare you share that with me when you don't even know me yet? Get to know me." So the funny thing is God redeemed that situation. We met for coffee every month to get to know each other and just talk, and no subject in particular. Wasn't trying to preach at her or whatever. Well, now she's in church serving alongside her husband, leading a life group. So, you know, God redeems those times when we don't quite get it right or we make an incorrect judgment call. And that's why we can walk out boldly in these giftings and not fear, because we walk alongside God, but we still want to use wisdom. We still want to listen. So do we have to know which is which in the moment? So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, maybe it's me that I'm supposed to come up, but what if I don't know if it's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or a prophetic word? It's okay. All right? It's okay. You don't have to have the specific label. You know, we used to tease one of our sons, because he would come to us all the time and say, "I have a question," and then he would give us a statement. And we used to bug him and go, "Well, that's not a question, that's a statement." And then he started, "I have a statement." And then we finally said, "You don't actually have to introduce what you're going to say with what it is. You could just say it, ask the question, give the statement." And so the same is true with this. We don't have to necessarily understand fully. But in some situations, we can pray very specifically. "God, I'm praying with this person. I need a word of knowledge. I need something just to speak truth to them. I need a word of wisdom." Or, "God, would you show us your purposes for our church today?" And as I said before, it's not always a from-the-front thing. So we want to normalize these gifts. We don't want to reduce them, but we want to understand that as we exercise spirituals, it's simply the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives flowing out to encourage others. So, a question Pastor Tyler put out to us a couple of weeks ago: are you operating in the gifts as the Holy Spirit empowers, or waiting until what you perceive to be the ideal opportunity? When we come together as a body of Christ, as a family, it's best when everyone is doing their part together. We would be very concerned as parents if our children didn't grow into maturity and contribute to our household, if they weren't doing chores, if they weren't doing anything to do their part around our house. And the same is true in the body of Christ. We exercise our gifts, we encourage one another, we edify one another, and it's a sign of maturity in our lives and growth. The gifts are used to help others. And they're also not something to be intimidated by, and that's why we practice them in the context of our church family and practice them out of relationship with one another. If you get up this morning, if you believe that's you and you share with us a word, we're not going to go home after and go, "Man, can you believe that?" That's not how it works. We're family. We're going to say, "Man, did you see that courage? Did you see that? Did you hear what they said?" And we get a chance to encourage them this week and talk with them and unpack that a little. So the gifts in operation. So we're at that spot where we're going to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to ask Davidson and the team if you would just come. And sometimes it's nice just to have a little background as you're meditating. But here's a couple of things I want to say. One of the things I know for certain, it is not me. It is not me this morning that has a word for the church, of the kind that I'm talking about at the beginning. The other thing is those of you who exercise those upfront gifts regularly, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words, you're going to be tempted to rescue us. Don't do it, okay? I'm actually really, really good at awkward, okay? So I am awkward. So I could do awkward really well. So I'm okay with that awkward pause, that silence, while we wait on the Lord. So if you're somebody who regularly exercises that gift here, and I know it's always still nerve-wracking or whatever, I'm going to invite you just to stand down this Sunday. And we're not going to rescue the situation. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do what I believe he wants to do. And you know what? I'm human. If we get to that point and feel that we need to close the service, I will rest on that. I will take that home with me. I will come to before the Lord with that and say, okay, God, correct me. What happened? Where did I not hear you correctly? But we're going to just leave this last screen up here just so that if you're just wanting to ponder and go, okay, I want just to know a little more, understand a little more before I share, you can do that. But I'm just going to sit on the stage here with a mic, waiting, praying. If you're someone who exercises those gifts regularly, pray along with me. And let's see what the Lord will do, and let's see what he wants to speak to us today as a church. Amen.